I want to go to the Old Testament tonight, and I want to read something. Now, whenever you read a story in the Old Testament, usually it requires that you read usually in more than one chapter to get a story clearly expressed. And I'm going to bounce around just a little bit, but I'm going to try to help fill in the gaps and get you to see a story that's found in 1 Samuel. And it's going to actually start in chapter 1. And so listen carefully as I go through this with you in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, in the beginning chapter, in the beginning verses, you're going to hear the story of a family where the man's name is Elkanah. Don't worry about that. His wife's name is Hannah. And Hannah really wanted to have a baby boy. And the Bible tells us that they went down to a city called Shiloh. Now, why Shiloh? Because three times a year, young people, the people of Israel would go to the city of Shiloh to worship their God. The gathering of people. It was a season of remembering. Three feasts a year. And at one particular time in 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah would come there and she would be there and she would pray, "Oh God, please give me a boy. I want to have a child and I want it to be a boy and I'll turn around and I'll give him back to you." Now listen to what the Bible says in chapter 1 and verse 3. This is important for us to get the picture. It says, "And this man," that's her husband, "went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there." Now the Bible's given us the name of he was called the high priest. We would call him today the pastor. His name is Eli, and he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And so here comes Hannah, and she begins to pray, "Oh God, give me a son." We come to chapter 2, and she has a boy, and she calls him Samuel. The name Samuel means asked of the Lord. And so she asked of the Lord for a boy, and she got a boy, and she named him Samuel. Now listen to what happens. She gives the boy Samuel to the cause of God, to the Lord, and he's going to stay there at the temple in Shiloh. Now, let me read to you several verses. It says, "Now the sons of Eli," remember those two guys, Hophni and Phinehas? "The sons of Eli were sons of Belial," or you could pronounce it Belial. Then it goes on to describe them. "They knew not the Lord." Here were two boys that grew up at the temple worship center, and they didn't know God. Their dad was what you and I would call the pastor, and they didn't know God. And it says they were sons of Belial. The term Belial is a term that means, are you ready for this? Worthless. What a terrible reputation or a terrible testimony. It means they failed to be useful for any reason. Okay, now Hannah takes her boy Samuel and she brings him to the temple where Eli and his two boys, Hophni and Phinehas, live. And she gives her boy to be taught by Eli. I'm just trying to paint the picture for you. Eli's like a teacher. He's a preaching teacher. He's the guy who's over the temple center. And he's going to teach this little boy Samuel who starts growing up at the worship center. Okay? So you got three boys there. Hophni, Phinehas, and Samuel. Now listen to what the Bible says about Samuel. Or about Hophni and Phinehas. We already heard that they were worthless boys. They didn't even know the Lord. Then it says, "The sin of these two young men was very great," meaning large, "before in the presence of the Lord. For men," Israel men, "abhorred the offering of the Lord." Now let me make sure you understand what that means. It means this. The people of Israel did not enjoy coming to the temple to worship God because Hophni and Phinehas were there. And Hophni and Phinehas did not treat the worship services with any kind of reverence at all. None. So they're pretty bad dudes. The next verse says, "But Samuel ministered," that word means he served, "in the presence of the Lord." And the Bible goes on to say in verse 21, "And the child, and that word child means youth, the youth, Samuel, grew in the presence of the Lord. Now, Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. No, my sons, it's not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If a man sins against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who shall argue for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord was going to slay them. And the youth, Samuel, grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Let me keep reading. In chapter 3 it says, and the youth Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Two more quick verses. Chapter 3 says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he did let none of his words fall to the ground. That's an old English way of saying, when he prayed, God heard his prayers. It didn't go to the ceiling, fall back down to the ground. And then the next verse says, and all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Here were three guys. They all lived under the same roof. They all lived at the same worship center. They all heard the same songs. They all heard the same teachings. They all heard, all three of them heard the instruction, and they were a part of some of the worship things, items going on at the worship center. They were all there at the same time, but they were going in opposite directions of life. I tried to draw attention to that as I read through the passage. When I was in the eighth grade, some of you maybe going into the eighth grade, I played on a football team at our junior high school, and we were doing pretty good. Our team was doing real well. We had this one guy, he was very strong. He was our running back. We'd just take the ball and hand it to him. I never saw one guy tackle him. It always took at least two guys to bring him down. He was fast, he was strong, and he's very agile. And I've seen some of that out of some of you this week. And I'm talking about girls. Guys that are very, very athletic, honestly. Well, this guy, he was very good. But he was not, how can I say this and be kind? He was not what you'd call, he was kind of thick upstairs, all right? Some of those guys make great football players. They're kind of half animal. And not really, but I mean, they're just, he just really wasn't smart. One night I saw him, he was on the sideline, we were on defense, which meant the other team had the ball, and they were on in their huddle calling a play. We were on defense, and this one guy who was very athletic was catching his breath, and the coach wanted to put him back in the field to play defense. He was going to be a middle linebacker. And he called him over. We all called him Corny. His name was Cornelius, and we called him Corny because he was corny. And the coach called him over, and he says, Corny, come here. And he goes, on the next play, I want you to go in and change the defense to a 5-3 and play middle linebacker. Oh, okay, coach, okay. And so he was ready to go. Now, look, our uniforms were black and gold. Black jerseys with gold numerals, black helmet with a gold stripe, black pants with a gold stripe. I mean, that was the color of our uniform. We were playing against a team, their uniform was completely white. White jerseys, black numerals, white pants, and black stripes, and white helmet. It's pretty easy to know which team you play for. Unless you're Corny, all right? He said, okay, coach, I'll do it. And he took off running, and we stood there and we watched him trot out there on the field, and he ran all the way to the other team's huddle. They're over there calling a play, you know, and Corny, we were on the sideline going, Corny, no, 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 Corny, no, you're on the other side. And he runs all the way and he bends over and I don't know if he had thoughts in his brain, but if he had any thought at all, he must have thought, I don't know these guys, you know, who are these guys? And all of a sudden he went, oh, and he jumps out of the huddle and he runs, you know, and the referee was about to pull that old flag out. And how do you explain to the ref, sir, ref, yeah, he may have been in the huddle and he may have heard what they're going to do. It doesn't make any difference. He lives on another planet somewhere. He's somewhere else. So we got penalized because you don't go to the other team's huddle when they're calling a play. We were screaming, Courtney, stop! You're going the wrong way. Well, let me tell you something about these three guys we just read about. Two of them, are you ready for this? Were going the wrong way. And only one chose to go the right way. Pay close attention to me. Don't miss this. And I'm looking at everybody here tonight, and I mean this in all sincerity. Everybody in this room, in this place, this pavilion, every one of you are either on the Hophni Phineas Highway, forgive me, but you're going the wrong way. Or you're on the Samuel Highway, going the right way. And teenagers, it makes all the difference in the world. You may hear guys like me stand up and go, hey, young people, pay attention. Oh, don't miss this. And we get energized. We raise our voice. It's because I know in my case, I've lived long enough to see there's some young people who think it doesn't make any difference what I decide to do right now. You're in a circle of time called the days of your youth, and you're making decisions right now that is setting the course for the rest of your life. And I'm over here saying, watch where you're going. Don't make the same decisions that Hophni and Phineas made. What happened to Hophni and Phineas? Well, they died an early death. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who dies young is because they're in rebellion against God. That's not always true, but it was true in their life. But I showed you and told you how that the people of Israel despised coming to what you and I would call church because Hophni and Phineas made a mockery of the sacrificial system. Now, this is important. They were not respected. Nobody liked them. In fact, one of them got married and had a kid, they named the kid Ichabod, which means the glory of God has been lifted and it's departed. In other words, God was removing His blessing off of Israel much because of the impact of these two boys going the wrong way. But what about Samuel? Well, the Bible says, I just read to you how all of Israel knew that kid, he's going places. God's got His hand on him. And the Bible also goes on to say in chapter 12 that all of Israel feared, that means they revered, they respected, they feared Almighty God and Samuel. Which means what? They looked up to Him. They respected Him. Now look, if I ask you tonight, hey, do you want to someday have a marriage that ends in divorce court and messes up and your life, maybe you wind up in jail, you want to wind up maybe in two marriages do you want to live a life that doesn't have the blessing of God upon your life? There's not a kid here that'd say, yeah, that's what I want. I want that. No, you don't want that. And you know you don't want that. So listen to me. You're making decisions right now that will affect how things are going to turn out. You're either on the Hophni Phineas Highway or the Samuel Highway. You say, well, Brother Morris, what do those highways look like? Great question. Real quickly. Hophni and Phineas, number one, were unconcerned about spiritual things. I told you a while ago, they made a mockery of the worship system. For sake of time, let me just tell you, when people would bring their animal sacrifices into the worship center, that's how they worship God. They were looking forward to the supreme sacrifice of Jesus someday. They bring their sacrifices. The Bible says that a portion of the meat that was cooked on the burnt altar would be cut off and would be brought into the house of Eli for him and his family to enjoy the meal, to eat the meat, and so forth. The Bible tells us that Hophni and Phineas would walk around and see what people brought, and they'd take a big flesh hook, a big fork, and they'd say, that looks like a good piece of meat. We're just going to take that. And the people of Israel said, wait a minute. We've not worshipped God yet. And they said, we don't care what you want. In fact, for sake of time, I didn't read it. They actually said, we'll take it by force if we have to. And therefore, the people of Israel hated to come to the worship center. Because why? Hophni and Phineas were unconcerned about spiritual things. Hey, if Hophni and Phineas were here tonight, if they went to your church and your youth group, let me tell you what they did. They probably wouldn't sing in the song service. It wouldn't be that important. Second of all, they wouldn't pay attention like every one of you are tonight. Thank you for that. They would may not even carry a Bible, never would read it, never would be interested in hearing it. Oh, they knew all the language. They knew all the talk. But they were unconcerned. Did you happen to see what I just read to you at the beginning? They didn't even know the Lord. Now look, I had a great talk with someone here that's here again tonight, last night I talked to them, and they were saying, can you explain what does it mean about knowing that there is Jesus died for your sins, but just knowing doesn't save you? And we talked about it, and the light was clear to him, and is that a person can just simply know some facts and know the language, but at some point you and your heart and your will says, and I believe that. Jesus died for me, and I'm putting my trust in Him. Have you done that? Have you done it? And I can't answer for you. I got to only answer for me. But I'm pleading with you. Some of you know the talk. You may know the language. You know what church is all about. But there's never been a time when you said, you know something? I don't want to just be facts that I know. I want Jesus Christ in my life. I was preaching over in Rhode Island. I'm pointing like I know where it is. I don't have any idea which way it is. I was preaching in Rhode Island several years ago. A teenage boy went home. It was a big youth rally like this. He went home and he told his mother. He said, Mom, I heard something tonight. He said, it was the greatest news in the world. She said, whoa. What'd you hear? He said, Mom, that guy said tonight that the wages of sin is death. And he goes, you know, Mom, what wages are. It means your paycheck. He said, your paycheck for what you do that's wrong is sin, and it's going to lead to death and separation from God for all eternity. His mom said, I thought you said that was good news you heard tonight. Oh, he said it was, because that's not when he stopped. He said, yeah, what I'm going to receive for my sinfulness, because I am a sinner, is death and separation from God. But God has a gift for me. He said, Mom, I heard that God's got a gift for me. It's called eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ. He said, Mom, tonight I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. I got the gift of eternal life tonight. Did you know I didn't meet that boy? I never did meet him. But the very next day, his mother called the church office. It wasn't here. It was in Rhode Island. She called the church office, and she said, my son came home last night and said that he heard this great news about a gift of eternal life. She said, is there anybody there that can help me? I want that gift too. That boy got it. Is it just words? Or has there been a time in your life when you said, I want to know Christ? If you've never done that, let tonight be the night. They were unconcerned. You said, Morris, I've been saved. Okay, but is there a passion to know God? You remember all the verses I read to you? Samuel grew in the Lord. What does that mean? It means he may have started at this level spiritually, but in time he grew more. And then he grew more. And then he grew more. You know, the Christian life is one of growth. I ask you from time to time, I say, hey, how old are you? And I hear this all the time. I'm 15 and a half. You can't wait till your next birthday. I'm almost 15. Really? When's your birthday? July? Okay, this is August. Yeah, you're almost 16. You know, I got news for you. At some point, someone will say, how old are you? You'll say, I'm 37. But I used to be 15. You know, I mean, it reverses somewhere along the way. But when you're a teenager, you can't wait to get to that next age. Let me ask you something. How long have you known Jesus? You say, well, let me see. I got saved when I was 7 and I'm 15. So I've known Him for 8 years. I'm 8 years old in the Lord. Would you say to me, in the Lord, I'm 8 and a half. I can't wait to grow and learn more. Samuel did. Or are you just content with la, 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 la in your Christian life? I come to church and I sing the songs and I just go through the motions, hang out with my pals. If Samuel lived today, he'd probably have a phone like all of us. As soon as church is over with, he'd be out in the parking lot. Hey, dude, what's up? He's talking to some friend across town. Not much, just got out of church. Yeah, me too. It was boring. Emoji. Send. There's so many distractions in the world today that keep us from growing. You're going to get away from your phone, get away from the computer, get away from the emails, get away from all the things that are pulling for your time and say, God, I want to get to know You. It's more than just having what we call daily devotions. It certainly includes that. What highway are you on? You say, well, I don't know. I'm all for Christianity. I don't know that I'm hungering after God. Don't get mad at me, but you're going the wrong way. You may have the sweetest spirit in the world and the most beautiful smile out here tonight. But you're on the Hophni Phinehas Highway. You may not be saying, I don't want God in my life. You may not be there, but if there's not a passion to know Him, you're going the wrong way. Turn around. Number one, they were unconcerned. Samuel pursued God. Number two, and I delicately get into this and I want you to hear it. Number two, Hophni and Phinehas were unclean. And I don't mean unclean like in the mud unclean. They were unclean morally. Did you hear the verse that I read a while ago? Let me read it to you again. Verse 22. It says, now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. You say, Mr. Morris, what does that mean? It means exactly what you're thinking. These two guys were immoral, unclean-minded, unholy, inappropriate thinking, pornographic-filled, ungodly guys. But Samuel, later on, he gets married and has a good marriage. He stays pure. Hey, did you get the picture? They're all under the same roof. They all heard the same songs. They all participated in the same church services. They were all there getting the same training. They all got the same Bible curriculum. They all got the same Bible school teaching. They all grew up under the same roof. But they're going in opposite directions. And the Bible says Hophni and Phinehas were immoral. Now, I'm going to be careful and delicate, and this is not the entire sermon. But young people, let me plead with you to understand something. I know that you don't get much help in the world in which you live in today. You're bombarded with images and thoughts of indecency and impurity. Girls. Some guy comes along and he says, I love you. You say you love me. So let's. And you can't control his hands. Look at me. He doesn't love you. He loves himself. At home, you probably have, your mom probably has some China dishware. You girls know what that is. China, guys are going, China? Isn't that a long, far away place? No. It's special, precious, and that's the word for it, precious dishware. You don't put it in the dishwasher. You wash them by hand because they're delicate. That's the value of your life. You're a precious, delicate. I'm talking guys and girls. Your life is of extreme value. You don't treat it cheaply. But what do you do when you eat on a paper plate? What do you do with a paper plate? Some of you guys. And then you chunk it. I mean this, girls. Some guy takes advantage of you, but when he's through with you, he'll throw you away like a paper plate. Guys, when you walk out someday on the day of your wedding and you look down that aisle at that girl coming down the aisle, that you ought to say, that's the most beautiful person I've ever known. You ought to be able to look at that girl and say, I saved myself for you. I didn't lose my purity with others. I didn't go viewing everything I could see online. I kept myself pure for you. And sweet girls, when you walk down the aisle someday on the arm of your dad or whomever, and you come down here, you ought to be able to say to that man, I saved myself for you. It ought to be the most exciting day of your life outside of the day you got saved. And I know I'm not a dummy tonight. There are many of us in this room. You're sitting here saying, Brother Morris, how am I going to say that on the day I get married when I couldn't say it tonight? I've looked at stuff and I look at it periodically and I do things and my mind goes down the wrong highway.
I'm watching stuff. I download. How can I ever say that? I want to. How can I say it? I tell you what you do. You tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going the wrong way. Forgive me. This is what repentance is. I'm turning around tonight and I want to live for you. And I want to live pure from this day forward. You say, Brother Morris, it's so hard. I wonder if that's why the Bible says, and whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. I wonder if that's why Paul told his friend Timothy, flee fornication. Flee youthful lust. He was saying, don't even go in the neighborhood. Are you guarding what you're viewing? The people you hang out with? Hophni and Phinehas Highway, they were unconcerned about spiritual things. They were unclean morally. Samuel pursued God. And Samuel stayed pure. There's one more thing and I'm about finished. Did you see what happened when Daddy Eli came to his boys? Listen to this again. It said that he came to his two boys and he said, no, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. And if you sin against another person, then you can take it to court, is what he's saying. But when you sin against God, there's no defense. That's what he was saying. Then the Bible says this, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father because the Lord was going to slay them. Here's the picture. They're going in the wrong direction. And their dad says, fellas, you're going the wrong way. You need to... The fellows, I'm hearing things that are not good. You need to turn. And the Bible says they didn't listen to their dad. They ignored him. Here's the word I choose. They were unbroken. They were unconvinced that they needed to be concerned. They were unmoved. Whatever word you want to use. Unbroken, unmoved, unconvinced. They just, as if they said, Dad, get out of the way. We know what we want to do. But what about Samuel? Well, I don't have time to read it to you, but if you've gone to church any length of time, you probably know this story. Samuel went to bed one night, and after several calls in the night, finally after the fourth time, he heard, Samuel, Samuel, and he said, speak, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm all ears. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Samuel presented himself to the Lord and said, I'm here for you. I'll do anything you want to. Teenagers, I said all that to say this. Are you with me? Don't miss this. Hophni and Phinehas didn't pay attention to the warnings. Samuel, even though he was in the minority, said, I want to do what God wants me to do. Now, I want to say this carefully, delicately, and I don't want to say parenthetically, because this is a point for every one of you. But I may be looking at someone here tonight. God has been dealing with you about going into what we would call full-time Christian service. God's dealing with you about being a preacher, being a youth worker, being a music pastor, being a pastor, go plant a church, go work at a Christian camp, be a youth pastor someday, be a Christian school teacher, and on the list could go. You know what you need to do? You need to get on the Samuel Highway and say, Lord, if that's what you want, I'll do it. And we would rejoice to pray with you about that even tonight. But all of you need to say, God, I'll be a businessman that wants to live for you. I'll be a nurse that lives for you. I'll be whatever you want me to be someday. I want to live. Lord, here's my life. You can have me. Have you ever done that? Are you there right now, tonight? You say, well, I don't know. I'm kind of scared if I give my life to God. He may make me do something I don't want to do. There you go, believing the devil's lie again. God is a good God. He's not going to say, now I got you. You surrendered. Now I'm going to put you on some bush island where you have to live in a treehouse and get up in the morning and grab a vine and swing to go out and shoot a baboon for breakfast. No, that's not your God. I don't even know if those places exist anymore, but the truth is, that's not your God. You know what you get to do? I'll tell you what you get to do. You get to do what you would love to do. That's exactly what I'm doing. Because when I was at some teenage year, I said, I'm enlisting whatever you want me to do. And I get to come up here and meet you guys. I've met some of you at another Christian camp nearby.
Next week I'll be in Georgia, and after that I'll be in Wisconsin, and after that I don't remember. But my point is, I get to travel, and I get to meet young people and go hang out. Why? Because when I was a young person, I said, no, I want to do whatever God wants me to do. Are you there? There were teenagers sitting at their local church one Sunday, and on Sunday night their pastor was preaching, and he was preaching on the difference between being a spiritual person and what the Bible calls a carnal Christian who lives for the flesh and for the world. There was a teenage boy sitting there about 5-6 rows back right on the aisle, and he thought to himself, my attitude hadn't been right. My music's not right. My friend choices aren't right. I'm going the wrong way. And the message went on to say, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. And that teenage boy said, well, I'm going to put God to the test. I'm going to live for Him. He went to his youth pastor that night and told him, I haven't been living for God like I need to, but I want to. The pastor of the church rejoiced. He told the church to come by and thank that boy for making that commitment to God. Several of the boy's friends got upset. They didn't like what he had done. One was a girl. She was furious. In fact, she got so mad at the pastor, she got mad at that boy, she was ultimately mad at God. Get this, she never came back to that church again. Her family didn't go to that church. She just came to hang out with people. She got so mad she left the church. She didn't want to come back. She ran away from home a few months after that. Stole some money. Wound up at a cheap hotel, and a cheap guy saw her, began to work on her and convince her that she needed to hang out with him. And so she went off running with him. Next thing you know, she was pregnant with some guy she barely knew. They were miles away from home. The old youth group never knew what happened to her. Her parents didn't know what happened to her. She finally gives birth to a child. This unmarried couple are just trying to find odd jobs living in a car. Finally, one day the car wouldn't start, and so the guy said, hey, he goes, that car over there, I'm going to go work on that car and see if I can get it to crank up. He did. He got it to crank up. They jumped in the car. They got a baby. They took off running up the highway. They got pulled over by a state trooper and discovered the car was stolen. Arrested the two. Now they were young adults. Took the baby and put it under state watch care. Over time, the girl got released because they blamed the guy more than the girl. They released the girl. This is the girl that attended church like yours. Gave her back her baby, and I think she took a bus ride all the way back to her hometown, knocked on her parents' door and said, I've messed up my life. Can I come home? You say, how do you know that story? Well, she was in a grocery store, and some girls that used to be in the old youth group saw her. They're grown too. They saw her, and they said, hey, whatever happened to you? What happened? And she told some of those girls, and those girls told me that story. You say, okay, that's what happened to that girl. Well, what happened to that guy who came forward and he said, I'm tired of going the wrong way, and he got things right with God. Whatever happened to him? Well, when he graduated from high school, he went off to a good Bible college. And while he was in college, God called him into the ministry. Uniquely enough, God called him into the ministry. And for the last 34 minutes, you've been listening to him preach. I had no idea that on a Sunday night, what a change it was going to make in my life. I said, I don't like that highway. And I turned around. It's made all the difference. I wish you could meet my wife. I wish you could meet my two sons, my family. We love the Lord. My grandkids and some the work of God in their life. Can I just tell you? Have there been any adversity? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's adversity. There's troubles. There's difficulties. But I'm going to tell you what, on this highway, it is so much better than a destructive life on that highway. Which way are you going tonight? If tonight you see a life that's not really passionate about God, why don't you turn around? If you see some impurity going on in your mind and in your life, why don't you confess it and say, God, from this day forward, I want to live for you. God, help me to live in victory. If you tonight need to say, God, I'm at your service. Whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. I'll be your servant. Do it tonight. Get on the Samuel highway. Let's bow our heads. Our heads are bowed. Father, please help me to have wisdom in the brief continuance of this service. Thank you for these young people. They've been extremely kind to me. But Lord, I don't know their hearts. But I don't want to see them go the wrong road and down the road of time look up and say, I made the wrong decision. God, help them to be Samuels, every guy, every girl. Our heads are bowed. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Are you hearing this? But if I said, hey, young lady, hey, pal, buddy, are you on the Samuel Highway tonight? If you are, if I ask you, I'm not asking you to raise your hand. Could you say, yeah, you know what? I'm not perfect, but you know something, Brother Morris? I'm striving to be on the Samuel Highway. I'm passionate about God. I want to get to know Him. I want to stay pure. And God knows He can do anything He wants to with me. Wonderful. You know what I say to you? Stay on that road. Keep going in that direction. Don't look over your shoulder and say, I hope this turns out right. I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, it will be worth it all. How many tonight would say, Mr. Morris, I don't know about anybody else on my team or sitting around me, but I needed what I heard tonight. I don't want to live on the wrong highway. I don't want to be on the Hophni Phineas Road. And God spoke to me tonight. You may be a girl, you may be a guy, and you'd say, God told me something tonight I needed to hear. I want to be a Samuel. And I'm not going to embarrass you. But how many tonight would say, I want to live on the Samuel Highway, and I want you to know that's what I want. Please pray for me. Would you lift up your hand? How many would say, I want to be a Samuel? Good, good, good. Hold them up. Hold them up. I want this. Good. Good. Who else? Man, there's several. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. Let me put your hands down. One more fast question. Maybe two. Is there anyone here tonight that'd say, would you pray for me? Because I think maybe God wants me in full-time Christian ministry someday. I don't know, but God may want me in ministry. And I want God to know that I'm willing to do anything in ministry He wants me to do. Now, that there may not be anyone tonight feeling that, sensing that. But if there is, I would love to know that. You say, pray for me. I think maybe God wants me in ministry. Would you lift up your hand? All right. Yes, 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 yes. Super. Wonderful. Amen. Great. That's, I don't know, 5 or 6, 7. Good. Wonderful. Thank you. Put your hands down. Father, I pray for these 6 or 7 young people, and young adults who say, I think God may want me in ministry. Lord, would you turn on the light in their heart, and may they tonight say, God, I'm at your service. I'll do anything you want me to do. And if you want me in ministry, I'll do it. Just tell me what it is. And may they share with their church leaders this dealing from you in their life.